Acts chapter 2. We want to read from verse 41 to 47. Appreciate your prayers for me. I was a little under the weather this morning. I feel a lot better. And but I'm going to have Barry help me as we read through this. Acts chapter 2, verse 41 to 47. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. And so good to have the ensemble up here. Really appreciate the work the young people do concerning this. Liz, I'm supposed to announce that you're going to meet with some folks tonight. You took care of it. You're a good woman. All right. So let's pray. Our Father, thank you so much for the privilege we have to be together. And thank you for the privilege we have to study thy word. We pray that you really speak to all of our hearts. Father, we ask that the power of the Holy Spirit be very real and prevalent in this service. We would ask, Father, that you would really stir our church up. And this is an area that we need to be strengthened in. And I pray, Lord, that the power of God be real and lives will be changed. And Father, we don't look to the preacher. We don't look for to the sermon. We don't look, but we look to thee. We ask, Father, that you would do a work that only can be attributed to thee. Now, Father, lead us with thy spirit. We pray for the unsaved, that you would deal with their hearts. And Father, we pray we'd have some saved tonight as we had saved this morning. And Lord, we just pray for an outpouring of thy spirit in this service. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter 2, verse 41 to 47. Barry?
Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved.
And then also chapter 5, verse 39 to 42, please. Acts 5, verse 39 to 42.
But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We find there's a word that jumps out of these two texts, and that's the word daily. One man said it's a great tragedy that today's Christianity is only a Sunday affair. That's not biblical Christianity. Biblical Christianity is a 7-day, 24-hour-day life. Amen. In Luke 9:23, our Lord said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. But see, religion has it just on Sunday. You go to one service, you punch the card, and you've done your service for another week. But that's not biblical Christianity. Christianity is a life. It's a relationship with God. Now, when you think about the term daily used in the book of Acts, the early churches were involved with reaching the lost on a daily basis, overcoming opposition, a faithful witness, defying kings and kingdoms. They brought fear and conviction to the hearts of thousands and made Jesus known everywhere because of their daily ministry, a daily fellowship. Now, back in chapter 2 of Acts, notice verse 46 and 47, please.
And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved.
All right, we find again daily. And they did all this without radio, without the internet, without TV, without newspapers, without Sunday school literature, without any kind of PA system, cars, committees, billboards. They did this just verbally, speaking to people about their soul. It was a spirit-empowered program. The power of God was upon the lives of the individuals, members of the church. And the church, of course, in Jerusalem had the power of God upon it. Now, this group grew so rapidly that it was known as the multitude of them that believed. Acts chapter 4, verse 32. And after miracles, prayer meetings, persecutions, and the death of several church members, we find here that Jesus Christ was proclaimed to the multitude. Notice chapter 5, if you would. Chapter 5, Acts, verse 14 and verse 42, please.
Verse 14, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. Verse 42, and daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ.
Now we find the lost and the saved, humanity needed this daily. They needed to hear the preaching daily, needed to pray daily, needed to witness daily. The lost needed to hear the gospel on a daily basis. Now consider Acts chapter 3, verse 2, please.
And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple.
Now, you know what took place? The miracle took place. Peter preached to him, and we find the man not only healed physically, but we find where his soul was converted. And then in Acts chapter 6, verse 1, I'm going to read this. In those days when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. So we find here there are problems. And yet we find that the gospel is being preached. We find people being converted. We find the saved are growing, but there were problems. But this did not stop the work of God, because these things were dealt with. As we see in Acts chapter 6, the apostles called some godly men, seven of them, to take care of these physical problems that they were having. Now, because of this type of ministry, we read of churches in Acts 16, 5. There, you want to turn there. And the natural outreach of a church is soul winning and missions. Notice Acts 16, 5, please. You're about to lose your job.
I know, bro. I'm sorry. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily.
All right. So we find here they're increased. And we find where they're growing in faith. Now, we find that there was a church that Paul tried to establish in Berea. The Bible says they search the scriptures daily. Acts 17, verse 11.
These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so.
All right, the importance here of these people in Berea, they wanted to know the truth. So what do? They searched the scriptures daily whether these things were true. And then we see Acts 17, verse 17.
Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons and in the market daily with them that met with him.
Disputed daily, the Bible says. Verse chapter 19, verse 9, please.
But when the divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus.
All right. Disputed daily, the Bible says. And how and why was there such a great increase? In Acts 5 and verse 42, the Bible says, and daily in the temple and every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Now, this verse, when put to action by any church, large or small, it's going to have an impact on that location. People are going to be saved. Revival may break out, and the results will be the edifying of the church and the glorification of the Lord. Now, let's go back, if we could, to Acts chapter 2. And I want to challenge you tonight concerning evangelism. Now, I think this is a weakness in our church, and I'm going to tell you why. I realize we're busy people and so on. But the most important busyness, if I can say that way, must be about God's work. Now, we've had calling days. The most we had out was, I think, maybe 14 or 15 about a month ago. The last couple of days we've had calling, there's just been 2, 3, 4, 5. Yesterday there were 2 that went out that I know of. I know there's some ladies went out on Friday. We appreciate that. But my point is this. we need to be strong in this area. We need to be involved with this area. That's one of the main reasons for a church is to carry out the Great Commission. Now, notice their persistence. It was daily. And we have got to understand that there is persistence, not spasmodic, but we realize it's a faithful, steady, regular, everywhere, every day opportunity to witness for Jesus Christ. Now, we have in our track rack, we have some wonderful tracks. There's Are You a Good Person? The Gospel of Jesus Christ to the World. We have one here entitled The New Birth. And these tracks ought to be passed out every day. We ought to be talking to people. I went to the bank yesterday morning, pulled up, and I was all by myself. There were the cars there at the drive-in. And the lady said after we made the transaction, she said, anything else I can do for you? I said, yes. I said, have you taken this test yet? And I held it up to the window for her to see. She said, yes, I did. I said, well, how'd you do? She said, miserable. So I said, well, you got to do something about it. I said, you ought to come out to our church and listen to the preaching. I said, we could show you how to have your sins forgiven. And she said, you want me to take it and pass it out to the others here? I mean, what I'm saying is this, beloved, there are people out there who are looking for the truth. There are people out there we need to talk to about Christ. And too many times we have our minds on shopping, on the temporal things, on all sorts of things, but the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the reason we're here is to get out the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we're here for. We're here to glorify God. We're here to carry out the Great Commission. Anything less than that, you are not fulfilling God's will for your life. Thank you, brother. Amen. Speaking from a true missionary. So we find here the importance of faithfully, steady, regularly, everywhere, every day, looking to speak to people about the Lord. That's what it's about. And I'm asking you personally tonight, when is the last time you spoke to someone about Christ? When's the last time you passed a tract? Well, you see, preacher, I'm busy. I work, 60 hours a week and so on. So do I. I'm always looking for opportunities. You always try to have tracts on you. You always try to look for opportunities to pass a tract, invite someone out to church. Now, no one's that busy where you can't do that. You go to a gas station. Why don't you go to the gas station, go inside and pay instead of using a credit card at the gas so you can pass a tract to someone. Amen? We do what we want to do. We do what we are. To me, it's an amazing thing for people to declare themselves to be Christians and they don't witness for Christ. Let me ask you this. If evangelizing the world was up to you at the pace that you witness, how many millenniums would it take for you to reach the whole world with the gospel? Amen. And either you're bored out of your gourd or we're making some contact here. Amen. Now, their persistence was daily. So the question we ask, how many tracts did you pass out this week? How many people did you speak to? We must be involved witnessing, testifying, inviting folks out to church, talking to people about Christ, challenging their thinking concerning salvation. Now, Jesus taught and preached daily. In the book of Mark 14:49, I was daily with you in the temple teaching. And what was Jesus teaching? The gospel. In Luke 19:47, he taught daily in the temple. Why daily? Because it's the example of our Lord. Why daily? Because the expiration of man's life. You don't know when people are going to die. Why daily? Because the exhilarating return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now turn with me, please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7. Verse 7 and 8. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 7 and 8.
And samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia, from which you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything.
Now, can you imagine that? Can you imagine writing such a thing that we don't need any more preachers on Long Island because we've covered Long Island with the gospel? Well, let's even do this. We don't need anyone in Holtsville or the surrounding areas because we covered. We don't need anyone out east because Community Baptist has covered the East End. I don't know if that could be said right now about us. In the book of Romans chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible says, "First I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of," listen now, "throughout the whole world." What a church that was. That their faith was spoken of throughout the whole world. So we find their persistence, second of all, the participants. And notice, if you would, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Barry?
"But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth."
Ye shall be witnesses. Now, what is a witness? It's not an idea or a philosophy. This witnessing is promoting and introducing people to the person, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not witnesses of creeds or ideas or laws, but to the person, the Lord and Savior of all men, Jesus Christ. We're to talk to people about Jesus. And when's the last time you did that? But if you understand this, there's no cookie-cutter method. Everyone's different. You know, let's just use these three guys. You have Bernard down here. We'll just say he's my neighbor down the street. And I can talk to him, and right away he's putting up a front. So I can only go so far with him. But I'm introducing Christ to him. I may invite him out to church. My other neighbor across the street is John. And John here is a little bit more open. He's been to Bible preaching churches. He's read the Bible. He has some information. He's done some research. And I can ask him some pointed questions. If you died right now, where would you go? Where are you going to spend eternity? And then my friend Ben, he is a guy I work with. And Ben, I could say, "Ben, look, you know you're lost. You know you need to be saved. You need not put this off. You need to come to Christ while God is speaking to your heart." And as he gets understanding and he understands it, maybe he'll get saved. So they're all different scenarios. I can't use the same cookie-cutter method with each one because each one's in a different place. How important it is that I'm sensitive to the Spirit of God, to that person's needs. I seek to meet them. And see, that's what we're doing, beloved. That's what we should be doing. Looking for opportunities to talk to people about Christ. And you say, "Well, they don't look like they're interested." You know, beloved, years ago, we were down in the South Bronx. Remember that Five Corner area? I don't know the name of the area. Do you know, Rand? The Five Corner area. Grand Concourse. Let me tell you, when I got down there, I said to myself, "I'm not in Kansas anymore." I mean, it was a different world. It was inner city. And some of the biggest guys came by me with a scowl on their face. I had people say, you know, "Hey, white man, go home. You don't belong here." But I did. I said, "I'm here because I love your soul." Amen. That's what I said to them. Hopefully he had mercy on me. But anyway, the point is this. Look, you don't worry about what people look like. You don't know their condition. You don't know what their life's about. You say, "Well, they look so worldly." Well, why do they look worldly? There's a need inwardly that has got to be met. And they're thinking, "If I have crazy looking hair, if I wear crazy looking clothes, if I pierce my cheek, my ear, my eye, my lip, you know, it'll meet the need." But it doesn't. Only Jesus can meet that need. Only Jesus. And people need to hear us speak about Christ, and they need to see Christ in our lives. Now, the word witness is where we receive our word from martyr. And the early disciples were willing to give their lives for the Savior in faith. The reason they were willing to do that and lay down their lives on the line was because they had Christ as their Lord and Savior. He was their master. He was their ruler. They believed in what he did for them in laying down his life for them. They were to lay down their lives for others. Now notice, if you would, Revelation 12, verse 11, Barry. And let's turn there real quick, Revelation 12, verse 11.
And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives until the death.
Three things: their salvation, their witnessing, and their sacrificing of their lives. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. They were living sacrifices, but the word of their testimony. You see, they testified for Christ. Now, you come up with all sorts of excuses. Well, I'm shy, or I'm a woman, or, you know, I don't get out very often. I'm too busy. Look, they're all excuses. There's no reason that all of us should not be involved with evangelism. Somehow, some way. And that's just not passing tracts. That's talking to people, speaking to people about their soul. I witness to people. Revelation 22:17, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Now you think about the Son of God. Think about all the times he witnessed. I mean, just look at chapter 3 and chapter 4 of John. Same scenario, a lost person comes to see him. One is in the garden at night by a religious person. The next one is at a well, noontime, a woman. A woman who was living in immorality. And yet Jesus dealt with him differently. To the Pharisee, he was very strong. Pharisee, I know that you're of God because of the miracles you do. And he's hoping to have some kind of an interactive discourse, conversation about religion. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say to you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. It says later on in verse 7, marvel not that I say to you, ye must be born again. In verse 10, he says, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Here you're leading multitudes into eternity and you don't even know how to be born again? The next chapter, a little bit different. Jesus is at the well and he says to the woman, he says, give me the drink. It's hot. Sun was blazing. Noontime. It's out in the middle of outside the town. And here is sitting on the well. But he used that to open a conversation to reach that woman with the gospel. He said, if thou knewest who it is that asked thee, give me to drink, you'd ask for him and he would have given you living water. Oh. He said, living water. Yeah, you'll never thirst again. She's thinking physically. Now listen to me, lost person. She's thinking physically. I'm interested in this. I don't have to come out here in the heat. I can have this water at home. I don't have to carry these buckets on a daily basis. I don't have to, be shunned by the women of the town. I can have this living water at home. She said, I want that living water. Zacchaeus, lost person, did not come to Christ because he was convicted of his sin. He wanted to see Jesus. He had heard about him. He was a wealthy man. He didn't have any spiritual aspirations. Climbs up in the sycamore tree to see Jesus. Then Jesus calls him. You listening? So many times people think that they have to have everything crossed right, dotted right. Everything has to be perfect if they're going to be saved. You know what has to happen? You've got to admit to God that you're lost and that you want Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's salvation. That is salvation. You understand, their motive was not always right. You know, the prodigal son came back. What was his motivation? Hunger. I don't know who said that, but that was right. Hunger. He got hungry. He was in a hog pen. He said, what am I doing eating with these pigs here? I'm a Jew. I could be back in my father's house as a servant. His motivation was not I sinned at first. It was hunger. A lot of people say, I don't want to die and go to hell. Amen. Good. I don't want to miss the rapture. Good. That's not what's going to save you. Christ is going to save you. And you've got to deal with the sin issue. But there's nothing wrong with those motivations. Amen? Nothing wrong with those. So we find here the importance of dealing with people properly and dealing with people where they're at. Jesus said to that woman, he said, I want living water. He said, go get your husband. Ew. Well, I don't have one. And Jesus said, I know. You've been married 5 times. You live with a man. See, he put his finger right on her sin. That was the predominant sin of her life. See, and that's why we need discernment as we deal with people. Well, I'm too busy for that. You know what? You're too busy, period. And you continue on this route. You may lose a lot of things. Maybe you lose your own soul. I never read that in the Bible. They were too busy to witness for Christ. You know why? Because Christ was their life. Amen. Christ was their life. Let me say this. I'm not patting myself on the back, but when I got saved, I was converted. My life changed. I started talking to people. I didn't know a whole lot when I first got saved, but I started talking to people that you can know for sure you're going to heaven when you die. That's all I knew. I knew I was saved. I knew my life was changed. I started telling people that. Then, of course, I read my Bible, went to church, heard the preaching, so on. You ask my wife, I've been witnessing for years. It was not a phase I went through. I'm still talking to people about Christ. You've got to be soul conscious. You got to forget about your life. You got to forget about the temporal. You got to get your eyes on the Lord and say, who can I reach with the gospel? Who can I talk to? Lord, give me some divine appointments. Say, preacher, well, I pass out tracts. People don't get saved. That's not our job, beloved. Our job is to preach the gospel to every creature. Our job is to go into all the world and teach all nations. That's our responsibility. Amen. So we see here the persistence, the participants, and then the plan. And notice Acts chapter 2, verse 46. Barry?
And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart.
All right, go to Acts 20. And while Barry's turning there, I want you to know this. They did not wait for the world to come to them. They went house to house. That's what our calling's about. Getting literature into people's homes. Now look, this is a different age. Our age where people are bombarded with information in the mailbox, on TV, text, phone calls. The phone calls I despise the most, most are the pre-recorded. Hi. As soon as I hear it, I click. You don't have the DC to call me. I'm not listening to some pre-recorded message. I like the ones especially when they call up and say, you know, this person would like to speak to you. I want to cut to the chase and say, how much money do you need? Don't tell me you're playing the information just because he was thinking, you know, John Kraft, I think I'm going to give a pre-recorded message to him. And sometimes I do that. I say, look, I say, I appreciate it. I'm really busy. I say, what's the bottom line here? Well, we were wondering if you make reminds me of the Christmas Carol, right? Is that the name of it? You know, what can we put you down for, you know? And that's the bottom line. But anyway, the thought here is this, is that it's so important to understand house to house, witnessing for Christ, telling the story of salvation. In Acts chapter 20, verse 18 to 21, please.
And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have seen with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in a wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ.
So the plan is from house to house. And then the plan also is every creature. I just mentioned Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And you think about this, the demoniac of Gadara. Jesus purposely crossed the sea to get to him. Now, most of us would say, I'm not going to go talk to that guy. He's out of his mind. He has no clothes on. He's living in the tombs. He's cutting himself. It's dangerous. That's not the way Jesus saw it. Every creature. That man needed the Lord worse than anyone. And Jesus went over there and loved him and reached him with the gospel. The fourth thing we see is the place. In Acts 2:46, and continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. Notice the term in the temple. And the ministry of evangelism is church-centered. It was given to the New Testament church. There's no authority outside to evangelize, but through the New Testament church. Now, the church doesn't save anyone, but it's our commission. It's our responsibility. And you don't find where God raises up individuals and their evangelistic salvation outreach. It's always church-centered. It's always church-centered. It's all you find in the New Testament. There's no place for parachurch organizations. Well, I like preaching. I like using, you know, the Gideons. Well, I'm happy you like using them, but that's not the answer, beloved. The answer is not the Gideons. The answer is the New Testament church. That's what you find throughout the book of Acts. Find throughout the New Testament. Is the New Testament church, those folks going out. Those folks reaching people. There's no authority of evangelism outside the New Testament church. And reaching a soul is not the end. Fellowship. Nurturing that soul to spiritual adulthood is the responsibility of the New Testament church. You know Acts chapter 20. You find that they're teach all nations, baptizing them in the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and then teaching them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. We find the church is responsible in baptizing converts and then teaching them to be obedient to the Word of God. We must be taught by preaching. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, the apostles' doctrine. That was the first thing that's mentioned there. The apostles' doctrine. See, doctrine is an imperative if people are going to be reached and develop and mature. The testimony lies within the church. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 24-25, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. So we find here how important it is to understand the testimony of the church, that we have a place where that new convert should come, a place where they can grow up spiritually and mature in the things of God. And then last, number five, we see the preaching. In Acts chapter 5, verse 42, Barry.
And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ.
Notice what they taught. It wasn't some curriculum. Amen. It was Jesus Christ. It wasn't some, you know, abstract theory or philosophy. They lifted up Jesus. Their message and their life was Christ. In 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 2, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. See, that should be the center of all we do. And Barry, you want to go to Acts 3, if you would. That should be the center of all we do, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's like that one group that Jesus was going to preach to, and they said before he got there, sirs, that we might see Jesus. Amen. See Jesus in our message. See Jesus in our lives. See Jesus in our words. See Jesus in our outward appearance. That's what it's all about, that people see Christ in me, the hope of glory. Acts chapter 3, verse 12 and 13, please.
And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go.
All right, and then Acts 5:28. Notice that Peter in Acts 3, he defers to Christ. He said, don't look at us. We're, you know, that's quite different than modern religious leaders today. Amen? You know, if people thought that Peter was the man that they say he was, he'd say, kiss my ring. It's not the way Peter was. Peter was not the first pope. And historically, he wasn't. First pope was Pope Gregory. That's who the first pope was, about the 5th century. That's history. Peter was not the first. He had a mother-in-law, and he said, silver and gold have I none. So that proves it right there. Wasn't the first pope. Now, Barry, Acts 5:28, please.
Saying, did not we straightly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us.
Right. And so he's speaking again. They've been preaching Jesus. And then Acts 8, verse 35, please.
Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus.
All right. Amen. Preached unto him Jesus. Now, let me tell you. Years ago, there was a guy who came through our church, up in Bible Baptist Church, East Grand Forks. And he was, they said he was former Illuminati. His last name was Collins, which is a very prestigious name in witchcraft. And I don't know. I don't know if he was or not. Very unique life. But I have to tell you, I was a young Christian. Matter of fact, it was 1978, I think it was. And Liz had got saved during that meeting. God used it. But he was talking about all sorts of things. About, you know, different people in position in government, who they were, what they were. They were, you know, Illuminati. They were into witchcraft. And he mentioned one time about everyone in our church going out to a campground we owned and live out there as a Baptist commune and all that. And as much as I thought this was interesting, I was saying to myself, well, what is our purpose here? Is to hide or to go into all the world and preach the gospel? I believe there's a lot of things that you and I can get involved with. There are ministries out there just given over to the family. And I want you to listen tonight. The family is not the end all. Unto him glory in the church. The glory of Christ is the end all. You know the different family, you know, there's focus on the family, there's different family groups. Everything's a family, family, family. It's not the family. It's the New Testament church. It's Christ being glorified in the church. And how is he glorified? By the gospel being preached to every creature. People coming to Christ. People's lives being changed. Their eternity being changed. Their marriage being changed. Their family being changed. Their children growing up being saved by God's grace. That's where God gets the glory. Amen? People put the focus on the wrong things. I remember after I went to that meeting for probably a good 2-3 weeks, my message was prophecy. Lord's come back because this person is this, and this, they're not really that, but what they're doing is they're sitting up and all this stuff going on with the Illuminati. I believe in the Illuminati. I believe there's wickedness in high places. I believe there's evil. That's not our message. I got sidetracked for a while. Then I realized, you know, my message ought to be Jesus saves. Jesus saves. That's my purpose on this earth. Now, let me read a couple of verses to you in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So what is our message about Jesus? In chapter 15, verse 1 through 4, you can turn there if you like. Chapter 15, verse 1 and 4. You find more, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believe in vain. I deliver unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, beloved, that's the gospel message. Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again. That's it. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And why did he die? For our sins. Isaiah 53 penned it down this way. He was wounded for our transgressions. Bruised for our iniquities. That's why it's so important to ask people pointed questions. Don't ask them, are you a Christian? What does that mean? What does that mean in our day and age? Everyone's a Christian. The Mormons are Christians. Jehovah's Witnesses are Christians. Catholics are Christians. Protestants are Christians. That's not the question. The question you want to ask is, if you died right now, where would you spend eternity? I had a man I just talked to on Thursday afternoon come by the church and talking to him about insurance and so on. And as he was leaving, I said, I've got something for you to read. You've given me some papers. I want you to read something. It'll tell you how to know for sure you're going to heaven when you die. I said, let me ask something, Gene. I said, if you died right now, where would you go? He said, I'd go to heaven. I said, why? I'm a good person. See, that's why this is a good track. A good track. I always ask people, have you taken the test? No, what test? I said, you got to read this. Yesterday at a gas station at Hess on North Ocean, I was pumping gas and guy was right across from me, so I pulled the track out. I said, hey, I said, have you taken this test? He was an older gentleman, about 75 years old. He said, ah, He said, yeah, I'm a good person. I said, well, you'll enjoy reading that track then. Now, if you read the track, there's nothing enjoyable about it. But he was a good person. So he said, he kept pumping the gas, and he was telling me, he said, I'm from the city. They were going out east for the day. And I said, well, I said, you know, you ever get a chance to let them come visit? But I said, read the track. I said, if you're a good person, I said, this will be a blessing to your heart. But who can read it as a good? There's no good person. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. My point is this, beloved, there are opportunities everywhere. And if you and I would get our eyes off ourselves, The Bible says in Revelation 12, they loved not their lives. They weren't interested in doing their will. They were interested in doing God's will. And God's will was testifying to the lost. Then over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect, for the preaching of the cross of them that perish, foolishness. But to us which are saved is the power of God. Now notice the gospel is not baptism. Paul said, God did not send me to baptize. What is the gospel? Death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Jesus died for our sins, according to the scriptures. And see, it's the gospel that saves. Now, disciples didn't preach to please everybody and offend nobody. They lifted up Jesus and his attributes. They lifted up Christ and the cross. And what are we preaching in word and practice? Are you a witness for Christ? Are you involved with witnessing daily? Are you speaking to people about their soul? So a preacher really isn't anyone to speak to. Where are you living? A borough somewhere? I'm talking about 1 to 5 in the city. I mean, where do you live? In the Holy Ground? There's people all around us. There's millions of people here, beloved. We're not in the Sahara Desert. Amen? The problem is not who to witness to. The problem is make sure I'm prepared to witness. There's people all around us. And you ought to be ready. You ought to be ready. Let me give you a couple of thoughts. We'll close. You ought to always have tracks on you. Always have tracks. I have a side door in my van. And in it I have Spanish tracks. The Gospel of Jesus Christ of the World in Spanish. I have a few Arabic tracks. And then I have the English-speaking tracks. I have Gospel of Jesus Christ of the World and then Are You a Good Person? The New Birth. I have them in there, so when I get out of the car, I can put it in my pocket. I can be ready to talk to people about the Lord. Gave one to a lady yesterday in Costco. You say, well, preacher, all you're doing is helping the economy. That's all I've done the last couple of days. But anyway, the thought is this. She said, thank you so much. I'm going to read this. Look, people are looking today, more so than ever before. This world is uncertain. Who knows what's going to happen? The return of Christ is on the horizon. What we need to do now, beloved, more than ever before, is evangelize. Is to give our lives and reaching other people the gospel of Christ. Sometimes it's going to be bringing people to church so they can hear the preaching. So they sit on an hour. Or if you're Brother Fryman, an hour and a half of preaching. Amen, brother? Just teasing. I mean, and then they got a lot of answers or questions being answered. Sometimes it's setting up a Bible study and going by their home and showing them how to be saved. The other day at the picnic, I spoke to Brandon's mom. And hopefully next week or so, we can set up a time to get together and go through the Bible. You know what I did? I simply asked her, I said, something along the lines about salvation and would you like to do a Bible study? You know, people are open to a lot of things, beloved. And there's questions they don't know. Religion has done an imperable work on so many souls, but there are people out there in religion who want to know how to be saved. It's our job to reach them with the gospel. And I think of the great task before us, beloved, here in the Holtsville region, out in Riverhead, in Bangladesh, in Pakistan, in New York City. I mean, beloved, it's overwhelming. When you look at it, overwhelming, all the souls that need to be saved. But I'm telling you that if we would just multiply ourselves, reach someone, train them, and then as you two go out, you both reach someone and train them. You get down to a couple of levels of that, it's multiplication. It's the fastest way of reaching the world with the gospel. But we have saints who are sitting on the stool of do-nothing. You have saints who are indifferent. There are saints who are living for themselves. Saints who are their focus on other things than preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I say tonight to Lawn Baptist Church that we have all got to beef up in this area. We have got to be soul conscious. We ought to be carrying tracts. We ought to be looking for opportunities. Well, preacher, I invited them already. Well, invite them again. Invite them again. You keep inviting them till they come to Christ. That's what God wants us to do. That's what Jesus did. That's what the early church said. They ceased not to preach and teach Jesus Christ. Would you stand to your feet, please? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and no one looking around. I want to give you an opportunity to respond. Father, thank you.